Let's talk small cap stocks. I'm joined by Jamie Cuellar, portfolio manager for the Buffalo Small Cap Fund. And this is the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for that informs their buys and sell decisions, what they see happening on the market, and how they're putting it all together. We find out what they like, maybe what they're moving away from, and how they feel about some of your picks. And right now, we're going to be talking with Jamie Cuellar. He is portfolio manager for the Buffalo Small Cap Fund. It's ticker symbol BUFSX. And if you want to learn more, buffalofunds.com, just like it sounds. Jamie Cuellar, thanks for joining me again on Money Life.
Thanks for having me on, Jack.
So we always start with methodology. Obviously, small cap is part of the methodology, but my audience needs to understand what goes into your buys and sells, what kinds of things do you pursue, and what kind of strategies do you leave for the other guys?
Sure. Well, we're small cap growth investors. We buy companies that are about $500 to $600 million at the low end, up to about $4 billion on the high end, and we sell them when they get to about $10 to $12 billion, which we consider to be more mid-cap. We are valuation sensitive. We're kind of more growth at a reasonable price. We have a long-term investment horizon. We usually look to hold things about 3 to 5 years, so have a little bit lower turnover than our peers. And our process, you know, we combine a top-down where we've identified 26 long-term trends that we think are going to provide a positive tailwind to the companies we invest in, and marry that alongside bottoms-up stock selection, looking for companies with, you know, good revenue growth, expanding margins, good balance sheets, sustainable competitive advantages versus their peers, and good management teams. From there, you know, we sell them when they get to their price target, get too big, or there's a change in the underlying investment thesis or they fail to execute.
Help my audience understand, 26 different trends that you're looking at. That makes it sound like they're all present at one time, or they are trends within what you see in a company. They are metrics. These are things that you're looking at quantitatively. How do you merge art and science here?
Yeah, so on the trend part, all companies that go into the portfolio have to have at least one trend. And these are things like e-commerce or increasing demand for communications bandwidth. So they don't have to necessarily have a bunch of trends, but just at least one of them that we think are going to really provide a positive outlook for the company that we want to take a look at.
And when we're talking about trends, what are the trends? At 26, I heard it and I was like, well, there's got to be a couple there that I just wouldn't think like, yeah, okay, yeah, that would be a... You know, and I'm sure I could name a couple of them off the top of my head just guessing at them, but a couple of them have got to be like, wow, this is, you know, you're digging deep.
Yeah. So, I mean, a good example is like increasing demand for communications bandwidth. You know, video is driving a lot of increasing data growth on the internet. And so consumers obviously want more and more of it. There's rarely a time where a consumer actually goes and reduces the amount of bandwidth that they have. You know, we want companies that are going to benefit from that. You know, communications equipment companies are definitely ones that fit in there, and that's actually an area that I like a lot right now.
And obviously, generally speaking, you're buying small caps. Small caps have been in the market's sweet spot, realistically, depending on how you want to look at it. But certainly, if we were to judge from the performance of Buffalo Small Cap, it would be the last 2 years, because you had a stellar 2019 and 2020, well above your average peer in both of those years. But there's been a little bit of a step back, basically, as we got into this year. So where do you see small caps in general right now?
Small caps, were positive on them as a whole, I would say, right now. Typically, they perform well in certain cycles, and usually those cycles start as we come out of a market dislocation or a recession. Certainly, we had that last year, and so typically, you know, it's a six-year cycle, and we're only 1 year into that, so we think as a whole, we think it's a good environment for small caps. But we do realize that there is a lot of rotation going on right now in the market, and certainly we've seen it even more extreme in small caps. Growth is being sold to fund value. So we think, you know, overall the market's likely to be volatile for the rest of the year, kind of up and down as people really try to get a hold of the inflation that we're seeing in the market right now. There's supply chain issues. There's really worries about how the Fed's going to step back, reduce bond buying, and really have to eventually get to higher interest rates. So, you know, we're kind of saying we need to pick your spots. You need to be sensitive on valuation. The good thing is when we see these rotations like we're seeing right now in terms of growth going to value, a lot of times we do see some growth names that get oversold, companies that we like a lot, and it gives us a good opportunity to buy those names at better prices or even buy some of those names that we missed on the way up.
Let's drill down a little bit. You said you like communications. There's some other areas that you like. What's kind of the poster child for the methodology? What's in the areas that you want to be in that is a perfect example of what you're talking about?
So a communications equipment company that I like a lot right now is called Adtrend. Last time we spoke in Quick and Dirty, I talked about a company called Calix, which is a bandwidth access solutions provider. That one has been an absolute home run, but there's one that's done well but hasn't kept quite up with the same pace as Calix has, and that's Adtrend. And they've got the same drivers. They provide some of the same solutions, but they actually serve more small and large carriers, where Calix tends to do a little bit more with smaller carriers. So the smaller carriers started spending more a lot last year, and now we're starting to see the larger carriers really pick up their spend. And historically, Adtrend has served people like Deutsche Telekom, British Telecom, Telmex, some really big carriers. So they've won a few big RFPs already. There's several more that are out there. One of the things we like about communications equipment is that Huawei is really getting capped in a lot of networks for political reasons in Europe. You know, they never really made a whole lot of headway here in the U.S., but certainly in other parts of the world they have. And they've been a really big price aggressor. So we think they're going to lose some share. I think Adtrend could benefit from all of this. And if you look at valuation on Adtrend, it's still, you know, a good value. It trades at 1.6 times on an EV to sales basis. And, you know, Calix is up kind of towards a 3.7, which is significantly higher. We think it's got earnings power, maybe about $1.20, you know, kind of mid-cycle here. And the stock's at $18, so it's a decent value even here.
So that's Adtrend, which is ticker symbol ADTN. What's another industry and then another example within that industry that you like?
Sure. So in consumer, one of the things we're really excited about is just the opportunities in gaming. And that's kind of more, you know, on the casino side, not the video gaming part. But one of the big drivers that we're seeing here is online sports betting and online casinos are really in the early stages of being approved at more and more states and getting rolled out across the U.S. We think ultimately this is going to be about a $40 billion opportunity for those two markets over the next, say, 5 to 8 years. It's pulling in a younger demographic into kind of the regional casinos that have, you know, never really been much in terms of consumers for them. And, you know, it's creating opportunities not just for the casinos themselves, but also providers of data and technology that are really going to be able to enable online. So one of the companies we like here is a company called Every Holdings. The ticker is EVRI. It's about a $1.6 billion cap. So they provide games like, you know, slot machines, and they also have a fintech department as well. So they make solutions like cash access and loyalty kiosks for brick-and-mortar casinos. They actually have some digital content that's going to go online, and they actually even have a mobile wallet solution. So this will be used in place of hard currency in the casino. You can actually use it on the rest of the resort and even online if you want to, you know, follow that casino and play games online. Overall, they've been a market share gainer in slots. More of their customers are adding premium games at higher prices and a better win per day. As you can imagine, they had a tough 2020 in game sales, but their customers are now back open again and spending a little bit more on cashless and contactless products like they have, like the loyalty kiosk that I talk about. They've got pretty easy comparisons here because of that. They're actually starting to even get back to 2019 levels and beyond. And during the downturn, they took out a lot of costs, so that's going to give them a lot of really solid operating leverage as the top line returns. They do have a little bit of leverage on the balance sheet. It's a little bit over 3 times the EBITDA, but again, most of the revenue is largely recurring, about 75 or 80%, and it's a high-margin business. The EBITDA margin is 50%, so there's really good cash flow here. And valuation is another thing I find very attractive. It's only, you know, about 8 times EBITDA. On this year's number, about 7.5 times next year. So I think you're getting, you know, a value multiple in what is going to be a good growth stock.
Quickly, you know, we talked about areas of the market, and it certainly is, if you're picking the right stocks, you're going to be selling them as they basically size out of small cap. But are there areas of the market right now that, you know, the metrics aren't coming up and giving you much in the way of names, or places where you just can't justify it right now based on the sector is overvalued or something along those lines?
Sure. You know, high growth software is an area that we've been worried about for really the last few years. You've seen a lot of these companies, and they're great companies, but they're just getting valuations that we're very uncomfortable with. You know, some are in the, 15 to, 25 to 30 times revenue, which, I think it's going to be hard to get your money back on that one. So we still like software, but we've been more of a kind of relative value player there, looking for ones that are trading in the, say mid-single digit revenue multiples. And, if they get margin expansion or multiple expansion, we look to kind of trade them out. So that's one area that, as more growth kind of goes over to value, those I think are very suspect.
Now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some stocks my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
I've got a good feeling about this.
Well, we hope you've got a good feeling about what you're hearing from Jamie Cuellar, and we hope you're going to have a good feeling about what you hear next. Jamie is portfolio manager for the Buffalo Small Cap Fund, BUFSX. Learn more at buffalofunds.com. If you want to get involved in Quick and Dirty, send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to chuck@moneylifeshow.com, and we'll add them to the list and hope they make it into an interview soon. We start today with a request from Carlos in Santiago, Chile, who wants to know about Castle Biosciences. That's CSTL.
Yeah, I like Castle a lot right here. This is one that we do own in the fund. They're a diagnostic tester in dermatology, and their penetration of their products for melanoma risk stratification is very low, but it's accelerating quite rapidly. And they have a couple new products that are going to get some reimbursement decisions this year. Revenues from those will accelerate next year. They were impacted a little bit by COVID as fewer people went to the dermatologist to get their moles and lesions checked. So it is a little bit of a reopening play from here. It's got great margins. It's losing a little bit of money as they're investing in future growth, but I think the numbers that the street has for 2022 are way too low, and so I think this one is definitely a buy.
Would you mind stepping aside? I've got a purchase to make.
That's a buy on CSTL, Castle Biosciences. Mike in Redwood City, California, wants to know about Expedia Group, EXPE.
I like Expedia a lot here as well. We own this in kind of our larger market cap funds. Leisure travel is returning here quickly. Their last quarter, they had really nice accelerating bookings. And they actually benefit a lot by having alternative accommodations like they're offering. That's Vrbo, which is a whole home rental. It got a lot more trial, I think, during COVID, and people probably going to figure out how much they like it. There's another one that's taken a lot of cost out during the downturn, almost $1 billion. So I think this one's like a coiled spring that when revenues come on, the operating leverage is going to be great. And I like this one a lot.
So people are excited about getting on the road.
Road trip! Woo!
And that's exciting prospects for Expedia Group. EXPE was a buy. A very different kind of company that, well, depending on where you want to go, could fit your travel. Richard in Chula Vista, California, wants to know about Vail Resorts, ticker MTN.
Vail Resorts, I think, is actually a sell. So if you've been in it, you've made great money. This is actually 20% higher than where it was kind of pre-COVID. I'm a fan of the product, but in 2022, for that ski season, they've lowered prices 20% on Epic Pass. And to me, that's just an admission that they really overshot the market on pricing and aren't going to have this as a lever going forward. I think the 21 ski season was better than expected because of the credit system they put in for people who had the Epic Pass and were impacted by COVID in 2020. So, even with lower prices, I'm not sure the marginal users aren't going to take a year off. And I'd rather see you buy Expedia instead if you wanted a leisure plane consumer.
So Vail Resorts, ticker MTN, and I love Vail. There's a huge lacrosse tournament there every summer, but the winter prospects not so good, and even the summer lacrosse tournament prospects not so good. That was a sell.
It's topped out. I say we sell now.
Richard in Chula Vista gets our remaining request as well. He wanted to know about GoDaddy, GDDY.
I like GoDaddy here. They're seeing acceleration in their core domain registration business and the hosting and presence businesses as well. They continue to sell more applications on the application side of their install base. They have a really good and early opportunity here in payments as they start to roll those out to their very large customer base. And the valuation is one that I think is still attractive here. It didn't get caught up in all the SaaS mania over the last few years, and you can even value this one on EBITDA, and it's about 16.5 times next year. So I'm a big fan of GoDaddy. I'd be a buyer.
Come on, let's buy.
That's a buy on GDDY GoDaddy. And our last request in the limited time we have left is for MasTech Incorporated, MTZ.
Yeah, MasTech is one that we've owned for several years as well in our small cap fund. I continue to like it here. It's playing on the mega trends that we have in telecom, you know, more fiber installation, fiber build out, things like that. This is going to actually kind of accelerate here as at the end of this year and have an even bigger 2022, and it's going to be a multi-year cycle. They had a tough year in their oil and gas segment last year, but this is actually starting to stabilize and get a little bit better. They actually also do some work in clean energy and infrastructure, so you get a little bit of a stimulus play there. Very well managed. There's been some tough contracts that have hit some of their peers in telecom, and they have not been tripped up by them, so I continue to like and own MasTech.
So we finish on a high note, MasTech, MTZ, that's a buy.
Oh, that's beautiful. We could make a fortune.
And we've got one more goodbye to talk about. It's the one where we have to say our goodbye to Jamie Cuellar. But Jamie, great to chat with you. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me on there, Jack.
Jamie Cuellar is portfolio manager for Buffalo Small Cap, BUFSX, the ticker symbol. It is a five-star fund from Morningstar. Learn more at buffalofunds.com, on Twitter at Buffalo Funds. We'll be back to tell you what's coming next week and more before we send you home for the weekend right after this message.